If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and then keep your finger there, because before we get rolling, I want to share with you what the kids will be learning and what we're going to learn over the next 4 weeks. And it's a simple statement. Grow up. It's real encouraging, isn't it? Don't you love that? Someone comes walking up to you and says, grow up. What does that mean? You're acting like a child. And the truth is, in our world and in our community, adolescence runs rampant. It runs rampant through 30 and 40 and 50-year-olds. The truth of the matter is, you can have gray hair and still be very much like a child, right? Because the truth is, growing up and getting old are two very different things. You know, we have an epidemic of boomerang kids. And I was one for a moment. Well, we're 30, 35 years old, and we've come back to live with mom and dad. Because we've not matured enough, where we own our own lives. And not to say that there's not a time and a place for that. My circumstances dictated it for a moment. But when it comes to growing up, when it comes to being mature, we've got to recognize that every parent's hope is that their child becomes a thriving, independent, responsible adult. Is that not true? I mean, we joke about wishing our kids would stay kids forever. But the truth is, we want them to grow up. I would be a failure as a parent, I would feel like, if my child didn't grow up and mature to the point where they were responsible. And not only responsible for themselves, but helpful to others. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, if we've submitted our lives to him, Jesus says in John 3, as he's talking with Nicodemus, that you are born again. That you have started a new life with Christ. And this message series, and it's what the kids will hear as well, is a statement to the fact that if we are born again in Jesus, we're called to mature in Christ, to grow up in Jesus as well, to move on to maturity in the same way that we would as adults. So that means we move on from just the simple, the milk of a mother, to meat and solid food, onto taking responsibility for our own spiritual growth, so much so that we're now beginning to reach out to others and help them. We're called to mature. But the problem with maturity is we don't like it. Because what is maturity? I mean, really, when you think about it, what is maturity? Is it not making the hard but right decision? At the end of the day, isn't maturity making the hard but right decision to set my desires to the side for the sake of something else? So for me, one of the mature things that I have to do every morning is when my alarm goes off, I have to get up. How many of you like when your alarm goes off? For you retired people, blah. But really, I mean, that's a mature decision, isn't it? I've got to provide for my family. And so when my alarm goes off, I have to get up and go do what I'm called to do for the sake of providing for my family. It's immature to go, oh, I don't want to go in today. I don't feel like it. It's mature to make the right but hard and self-sacrificing decision. And sometimes, we just don't want to do it. The Bible, to be truthfully told, is full of excuses. The great heroes of the faith often make incredible excuses. If you go through your devotional this week, you'll get a chance to read some of the stories. Moses, face-to-face with a burning bush with God, makes excuse after excuse why he can't do what God has called him to do. Throughout Scripture, we find that people, you and I, are excellent excuse makers. But as we start this message series, and we're going to learn the same thing the kids are learning, we're going to look at somebody who didn't make an excuse. We're going to look at Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges. From the time Joshua brought the Israelites into the promised land until King Saul, King David, the land of Israel was ruled by judges. When there was a need, God would raise up a leader to lead the people. Gideon was a judge. Deborah was a judge. Samson was a judge. You can read all about these individuals in a book creatively titled Judges. Samuel was the last judge before the anointing of kings. And Samuel's life was forever shaped by a prayer and a promise his mother made. Hannah was his mother, and she could not have a child. She tried, and couldn't get pregnant. And so eventually she prayed to God and said, God, if you give me a child, I will dedicate that child to you. And lo and behold, she became pregnant, gave birth to Samuel, and when he was weaned, so around the age of 3-4 years old, she gave him to the priests to be raised within the temple, to be raised within the tabernacle, to be dedicated to the Lord. And so we're going to pick up shortly after Samuel has been with Eli, the head priest. It says this in chapter 3. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel! Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? And I feel for Eli. I've got little kids and they come in at 3 a.m. and go like, Daddy, is it time to get up? Come on, Daddy, I want to get up. How many of you have had kids that constantly wake you up? Eli kept his patience here. He says, I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before. Samuel! Samuel! And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when it comes to maturing as a follower of Jesus, when it comes to growing up, we, as we're going to talk about today, are full of excuses. Just like kids, my dog ate my homework. I can't do it. I have a bum knee. I have a bum ankle. Oh, my mom won't allow me to do it. My dad won't allow me to do it. Oh, I'm not old enough. Oh, I don't know how. We are full of excuses when it comes to following Jesus. How many of you have ever used the excuse, I'm too busy? You're all a bunch of liars. I've heard you say it. I'm too busy. I don't like small groups. I can't talk in public. Use that excuse. But when it comes to maturing in Christ, what we ultimately mean is that we're not going to lean on our excuses, but we're going to trust God and move forward. You know, an excuse is simply, but I. Just fill in the blank. What is it for you? But I am afraid. But I don't have the time. At the end of the day, what they all boil down to most of the times is this. But I can't. How many times, in one form or the other, have you or I used the excuse or heard the excuse, but I can't? Now, like we talked about with the kids, today, when it comes to excuse making, we're not talking about doing something so extraordinarily that you can't physically do it. Just like Jacob, he may think he can jump all the way up to the ceiling. But if I came to you and asked you to stand here and jump up and touch that center post, your response would probably be, I can't. That's not an excuse. That's a true statement. What we're talking about today is about doing the things that God calls us to do. Being obedient. Being sacrificial. Being open-handed. Giving. These are all things God calls us to do, and if God has called us to them, then we can in and through the power of Christ. So ultimately, as we're talking today, the truth is I can't is not a valid excuse. It's a cover for something else. And Samuel actually is a great example of the cover we often use. I can't is sometimes a cover for I didn't know. If you're called to be obedient in a certain way, and you sit back and go, but I didn't know, that can be a valid excuse for that moment. You know, the reality is our world has very different priorities than a follower of Jesus. And when it comes to marriage, when it comes to sex, our world views it very differently than Jesus does. You know, the word says that we are to save physical intimacy for marriage. But nowadays, we live in a society that doesn't even think you need to get married. You can just kind of shack up and go about it on your own. Now, the truth is, confronted with that, someone calling, God calling to them, asking them to mature, they might go, but I didn't know. And that's a valid excuse one time. You see, Samuel heard somebody calling, but it said that the word, the message of the Lord was so rare in those days that he didn't know it was God. That's a good excuse. He didn't know, but he chose to step up into it. And he ran to Eli. He sought to get answers. Well, the second excuse that's much like I don't know is we may be called to do something and we don't know how to do it. Some things are self-explanatory. Other ones, they become a little bit troubling. They become a little bit different. How do I give when I can barely pay my bills? How do I serve when my schedule is so full? How do I do those things? I don't know how. Samuel didn't know how to listen to the word. He didn't know how to respond to this voice. He wasn't even sure what it was. My schedule was so busy, I just don't know how. It leads to one last excuse. And if we pull away everything and are just really honest with one another, this next excuse is the real reason why so many of us stay infants in Jesus, childish in Jesus, and don't mature. And it's this, but I don't want to. Isn't that true? At the end of the day, when we're faced with a decision to be obedient to God, to trust in God, and to let God have our circumstances, to make the hard decision, but I don't want to. I don't want to have to wake up when my alarm goes off. I'm 41 years old. I don't want to put away my video games and help my kids get to bed. What would you say to me? Grow up. Grow up. I don't want to quit doing what I'm enjoying doing, what I've gotten myself into, for the sake of what's right. I mean, every excuse, if it's a call from God, boils down to this simple statement, but I don't want to. And if you know the story of Samuel, if you know the context of where this call from the Lord came, you can understand that the real battle is I don't want to. Because God said this, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. Here's the context. Eli was the chief priest. Eli was the old man taking care of Samuel. Eli had two kids. And Eli's two kids also became priests in charge of the sacrifices. And what Eli's two kids were doing is when a gift would come in, they would go one for God, two for me. One for God, two for me. And they were lying in their pockets. They were abusing their power. They were insulting God. And if you read chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, you'll see that Eli received a word from the Lord that said, Eli, you better do something about this or I'm bringing ruin upon your family. I cannot be insulted like this, says the Lord. You better do something. And Eli said, I can't. They're my kids. I can't. I don't know how. I can't. What he's really saying? I don't want to. And so here comes Samuel. And the word that Samuel received from the Lord is this. You better tell Eli that I am bringing destruction on his whole house. He will watch his kids die. And every member of his family will succumb. And anyone who lives will live in misery knowing that they come from a line of failures. Let Eli know that. Now, how would you like to bring that message to the guy that has loved you and cared for you for several years? That's what Samuel was asked. I wouldn't be surprised if he said, God, I don't want to. But Samuel doesn't make any excuses. When we make excuses, like Eli, we can sometimes pay a very hefty price. You and I know this with our kids. If we allow our kids to get away with excuse after excuse, somewhere down the road, they'll pay a hefty price. And truth be told, if you're a parent or a grandparent that allowed excuses to go without challenging them, as a parent, you've paid a hefty price, haven't you? A broken heart. There's two types of sin in the world. There's sins of commission. These are sins that you and I know we're not supposed to do. Do not murder. Got that one. I hope so. Do not lie. Oh, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that. But when I do, that's a sin of commission. I've committed the act. It said no, I said yes. That's one set of sins. There's another type of sin. It's called the sin of omission. A sin of omission is this. I should this.
This
will be the memory verse. Kids coming from children's church.
What did James 4:17 say? It says this. Remember,
it is a sin
to know what you should do or ought to do.
And not to do it. That's a sin. Someone who should be growing up to to know what not to do not do. But I want to give you hope. Because in Jesus Christ, there is grace. And so today, for you and I, can be a new day. Today is our kids. We have an opportunity to say, Lord, no more. Here's how it starts. It's as easy as knowing you're eight.
A. Admit. Confess. Be honest with
yourself. And be
honest with God.
Admit the areas where you've believe. That he conquered the grave for your sake and mine, and then choose.
Choose to follow. Choose to step
up. To grow up.
I hope you find this message encouraging. Truth is, I'm betting you're sitting back going, dude, just told me grow up.
I could be his grandparent. Who does he think
he is?
But I want you to imagine for a moment. Remember what it was like as a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, or a 15-year-old. How much you wanted to be an adult. How much you wanted the privilege to have your own stuff, your own space, your own responsibilities. Imagine what could be if you trusted God and today said, no more excuses. It's time I grow up. What could God do in my life and through my life? What could God do in your life and through your life? If we make that hard statement and say, God, I choose you. I don't want to wake up, but I'm going to. I don't want to sacrifice, but I'm going to. I don't know how to give, Lord, but I'm going to. My schedule is so busy, but Lord, today I'm going to reprioritize. I'm going to say no to some things I really like saying yes to, so that I can say yes to the things I should say yes to. What could it be like? What would this church be like? What could happen in this community if all of us started saying, no more excuses, it's time to grow up? Do me a favor. I'm assuming most of you are sitting next to someone you know kind of well and like. Turn to someone and in love, tell them, no more excuses, it's time to grow up. I love my children. I have great hopes for my kids. And so this is what I tell them. Come on, guys. No more excuses. It's time to grow up. I don't expect my 4-year-old son to do 20-year-old things. But I expect him to take one more step. You don't have to go out and become the next Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. You just have to be willing to take that one next step. And so what is it for you? No more excuses. Imagine what could happen. Time to grow up. Amen.